Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome to Hooked, the podcast where we give you all the plot hooks that you could ever need ever in any game ever that you are or will be playing. I'm your host, Zane C. Weber, here with my trusty co-hosts.
Your old pal, old Maddie.
And?
It's Darcy. Yum, yum, yum.
And a brand new person that I'm so sorry that you had to witness that.
Jack. Hello.
Jack. Jack is here. Jack is joining us for the first time. Tell us, Jack, what are your credentials? Why do you like things?
Why do I like things?
Why do you like things?
Human nature, I guess. That's a big question. I'm trying to rid human nature pretty much of my whole life. Just live entirely robotically, but it's not really working out.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
I've been playing tabletop for a while with old Darcy here. My credentials. That's the only credential I possess.
Now, what is the dynamic here? Who's the dungeon master and who's the player? Or are you both players?
It's kind of like a weird sexual relationship, actually. We take turns. One time I'll be the DM. Another time he will be.
But we're that's always, spicy.
We're yeah. always players.
Yeah. Each to their own, I guess. All right. Because we have a new person here.
I have a getting to know you question.
Okay.
I've got one.
Okay, please.
So in the break, we were discussing
Robinson Crusoe.
Robinson Crusoe. And we were discussing the fact that Robinson Crusoe was stuck on an island with the Holy Bible and how he went a little bit nutty and enjoyed that book a lot. So here's my question. It's a thunderstorm. You crashed on an island and you're trapped there for 25 years.
Not again.
What piece of literature did you have packed into your stowaway kit that you've managed to get on the island and you can read it for 25 years?
I mean, it's really unfortunate for me, but I very rarely pack actual books because they're so heavy.
Well, maybe the ship has crashed and someone else's book washes up and you go, I've heard about this book. I like it.
Okay. All right. I hope that it is The End of Science. The end.
Okay.
Nice.
Basically, it's a book. It was published, I want to say like 99, so it's a little out of date now, but basically going around one, the interviewer talking to all the different kinds of science, so chemistry, biology, about what would be the end point of their field of science. Like, what do they have to get to and define before chemistry is done now or physics is done now? We know everything there is to know.
Okay. Yeah. Matthew?
Very good. I'd be torn between, you know, what I actually read books for, which is escapism and kind of literary kind of fun, and yeah, a science kind of angle. Like, this is a book I'm going to read for 25 years. How much do I want to dissect it? So I'm going to cheat and say, depending on what universe and what mood I'm feeling in the moment that my plane is going down, in that fateful moment, it would either be The Count of Monte Cristo, which is, of course, the ultimate revenge tale by Alexandre Dumas. It's got so many different kind of facets to that story. There's a swashbuckler, there's a mystery, there's...
And, of course, when you're on an island for
what are you
going to
be
years,
planning?
Revenge.
Of course.
Revenge.
25 years.
And guess who's castaway in The Count of Monte Cristo? Oh, The Count of Monte Cristo!
Oh.
But, so, honestly, that would be the book I would have.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's just... One, it's my second favorite book of all time. And if I was going to do the science angle for some reason, even though I'm not that into science, even though I think it's awesome, Sapiens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Jack Thompson. Okay. So I'm a huge kind of popular fantasy nerd, I guess.
Gross.
So, yeah, I know. I'm the worst.
I hate that That's exactly what this podcast isn't about.
We hate fantasy here.
Get it out. It's in the bin. So I'd probably choose, even though I've probably read it a ton of times already, I'd probably choose Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Nice. Purely because, and I've already discovered a few, he's hidden so many little secrets in those novels. And there's like a few, like you won't even get them the first couple times you read it. But I think given 25 years with nothing else to do, maybe I could crack it.
And it's so long.
I'd come back to civilization and be like, guys, I did it. And they're like, dude, the third book's out. We got it all.
He's fixed it.
Oh. Yeah, it's out. No, it's just...
Oh. He actually released an appendix 2 years after the final publication.
I know, there's more. missing out on vital stuff.
That's good.
And you?
Garfield comics. Just 25 years of
just
Garfield comics. And then by the time you see me, I am dressed as a cat and I'm completely insane.
Then we send you back to the island.
And my sense of comedy is completely blown out of proportion. What I find funny is just like nothing.
Lasagna. The word lasagna.
We don't know how we got out, so we're going to take him.
I think it's really interesting that none of us tried to game the system and put like a survival handbook or anything.
That's been done before.
Figure it out or die.
Holy wow.
I'll die. Like,
but I'll be laughing at the hilarious feline. Yeah,
my urge to live is not strong enough to survive 25 years on a desert island. Like there are levels of life that are of living that I'm prepared to accept, and living on a desert island is not one of them.
For 25 years, fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, to be honest, I'd be glad just to be on the island so I have time to read.
Oh, that would be nice.
But it's just one book. What happens when you've read it for the 100th time?
I read it for the 101st time.
Yeah, nice.
It's like, wow. What are you talking about?
All right, let's get into the actual episode, shall we?
Sounds good.
If you've stuck with us this far, what we do here is we take inspiration from a random Magic the Gathering card and a random word, and we provide some hooks for your games. So we present them in the form of a magic trick. So we first come up with the pledge, which is the basic seed of the idea. Then we turn that pledge into a bit more of a fleshed out idea, a bit more history behind it, what it's going to actually do. And then finally, the prestige, which is we give you a few options of how to include this hook in your game with your players. Darcy is looking very dubious, I'm going to say, until I noticed that he was looking dubious and then he changed his expression. Did I miss something?
No, nothing. I'm just excited.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's just excited.
So the card that we are taking inspiration from today is the Thunder Spirit, which is an elemental spirit that is flying and first strike. So does anyone want to describe what the card looks like?
It's a thundery gargoyle with lightning hands flying over a wheat field looking grumpy, but not really angry, just kind of grumpy.
And you did point out that it does look like lightning is striking a group of people that are a few pixels.
Three little pixels. I think they're people, but they could be anything.
Could be trees.
Could be that.
He just really doesn't like trees.
Really doesn't like trees.
Trees.
I mean, look at the rest of them.
I'm a god of thunder and I hate trees.
I mean, look at the rest of the land. There's nothing there. They could be trees.
That's what he's been doing this whole time.
10,000 years.
And that's the first hook.
And the word that we have selected is domination. So, lots of fodder for hooks there.
Mm.
Who like to go first?
I may go first.
Yes.
Am I? Go.
I must insist on consonants.
Articulation?
Very well. I guess I'll use the whole speaking
alphabet
skill that I have developed in my word podcast over time. Okay, so my pledge is that all Maddie was frolicking as he does through a golden wheat field, and he stumbled across, let's say, a dormant volcano. Yes,
sure.
And I am in. My card is setting and something else, which I'll reveal later.
Okay.
But my setting is, I'm in very much Genasi kind of known spiritual lands. Like, game masters can put whoever, whatever people they want on top of there, but like, ancient times, this was Genasi land.
So lots of elemental spirits.
A lot of elemental spirits running around. And I find a dormant volcano, and let's say for some reason I'm prospecting, and the gold is rich in this volcano. Rich, I say. So I go up to the top, and this is a long extinct volcano, so I'm happy as a clam to go as, with a reckless abandon, as carelessly deep into the volcano as I wish. Inevitably, I fall. And as I go down this slippery slide, I end up at the base, which is actually surprisingly, to my surprise, a golden land, as in the picture, with a great big sky and stormy clouds brewing and dark figures in yonder distance.
Okay, so the setting
yes.
that you are proposing is underneath the ground as it is
mm-hmm.
through this volcano. And so it is a journey to the center of the earth kind of situation.
Yes. And through kind of, you know, spiritual kind of elemental kind of magic or some kind, there is a sky, a storm sky that's just
kind of
endless. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got one.
Please.
So mine is a magical item. And I'm going away from nature into a bustling town. You're walking into the store. And behind is, oh, it's Grimgore the Goblin. Hello! And Grimgore sells magical items. And one of them is a small metallic box with a lens at the front and what looks to be several glass panels on the top that spin around. And Grimgore says, oh, it'll help you capture items and things. You go, oh, well, I don't know about that, but I might drum
an item that helps you capture items?
Oh, yeah, that's it, my sir.
Is it like a metal detector or a magnet?
Oh, you just have to use it. Otherwise, I'm going to give away all the secrets straight away.
He's being real vague about this.
Yeah, he's being real vague.
I don't think I want to buy this, Grimgar.
And then you realize why no one else is in the store.
So it's like Vince from ShamWow.
Does it look like a lantern with like a lens on the front and rotating discs?
Okay,
kind of
so
above?
It's a metallic box that is a rectangle,
yeah.
A lens at the front of the box,
mm-hmm.
or one of the sides of the box, and at the top is what looks to be like a little carousel of glass with panels reflecting outwards. And he says, it'll help you capture items.
I'm going to be honest, Grimgar, it looks like you just went into the back and put this together yourself and are trying to sell it to me as a magic item.
Is that glue? I think I can see glue on this
anyway,
thing.
Anyway, shop's close enough. I'll take that item and get going.
As long as it's magical glue, we're fine.
Yeah, so he throws it in your possession and he shuts the door and he says, we're closed now.
Okay.
We open for 30 minutes at a time.
So we have the lens box from Grimgar as one hook. And Jack, what have we got?
Okay, so went with the obvious one. I got Monster as my little card there. And I'm going to go with, straight up... Darcy, can I get some, like, wind whistling through the grass sound effects? Yeah, you and your party marching through this endless plains, this cornfields. Wind kind of starts to pick up a little bit. You see a storm wall approaching.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, no, that storm wall wasn't there 10 minutes ago. This thing's too fast. What are we going to do? Stormwall overtakes you. You can only see 10, 15 feet in front of you. It's just black cloud all around. Lightning. Huge lightning face appears in the clouds.
What are you doing in my domain?
And I'm thinking this monster is some kind of, maybe thunder. It's, I don't know if I want to make it a spirit or a god or just some kind of elemental force that is manifested to just kind of annoy your party a bit.
Okay.
All right.
So, storm monster.
Yeah. Let's go with storm monster. Oh, wait, no. So, like, actual name?
You don't have to name me, but please, if you want
I'll
to,
just say
I encourage you
I
to.
I
want
to go with the Thunderer because it's a cool name.
Nice. Like
yeah.
The Thunderer.
Well, Thunderer, consider me irked.
Good, that was my intention.
Ooh, damn you.
Okay, well, let's go back around the other way. So let's start with the Thunderer.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know why he is the way he is and why he wants no one to be in his domain.
Okay.
So
I want some backstory.
All right, here's the backstory. Ages long past, all of these, there are many more of these elemental forces. There is, you know, this force of rain, this force of growth, of forest, of et cetera, et cetera. I'm thinking that in order to kind of calm down the sheer elemental forces ravaging the planet, this group of people trapped all of these forces within some kind of maybe idol. They've got like a room full of statues,
yep.
Each statue depicting one of the beings. The Thunderer is real upset that he's trapped. He doesn't like that. So after millennia of shaking the inside of the statue, bang, 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 pounding, he finally cracks it open, and he's out, and he's angry, and you were the first people he's come across.
I like it. Mm. So the Thunderer is kind of an ancient spirit that has been trapped and is going to get you because you look like the people that trapped him.
Yeah, to him,
yeah.
Every human is the person he trapped.
Every biped.
Feet? Who needs those?
Why don't you just float in the sky?
I know.
Like me.
So
the
easy.
Thunderer.
That's such like... It sounds like a really uncool nickname someone gives themselves. Yeah, man.
Sounds like a dime store novel, like from the 40s.
I kind of want to read that though now.
Yeah, I want to read it.
I'd be like, a dime, you chump, what a steal.
You don't know what kind of gold you're just throwing away.
All right, well, let's go back to the lens box that Grimgor has
box.
Thrown at you and mocked his door.
I really want to know what this is about.
Yeah, okay. So obviously, he said you could capture items in it. You go outside, you're walking around. Oh, look out, it's a... what's a monster?
Minotaur.
It's a minotaur. Quick, guys.
Minotaurs are people.
Let's not get into magical creature rights, please.
It's a basilisk.
Okay, look, it's a minotaur, which let's just try and catch him and we can talk about it later. And then they grab Grimgor's box and they shine it on him. A projected light flicks out onto Grimgor. Oh, sorry, not Grimgor. I'm thinking about you, Grimgor. Flicks onto the Minotaur. Flickety flick, flick, flick. Seems to give him a bit of a scan and then does nothing.
Brilliant.
And of course, the party is furious. What? Now we're going to fight a Minotaur.
Oh, no. All of our suspicions have been confirmed.
What a waste of time.
I don't know why we tried this in the first place.
Okay, but then here's the thing. The box rumbles. The glass spins. Flickety flick, 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 flick. And erupting out of the top with arcane energy is a projected image of the creature which you've taken footage of as it thunders and roars. And
I choose you.
Yeah, but it's only an image and it's only things you've recorded. What you've got essentially is a
video camera.
With a projector.
Yeah, it's like a box of minor illusion.
It's only things you've taken images of. So you can't be like, I cast dragon. You have to be... And you know, and then you've got chances to do. The mayor's been sneaky out back, and he says, "I'll let a what's they saying, Monsters Inc.? I'll let 1,000 children die before this company." So it's I'll kidnap 1,000 children before I let this company die. And they play that, and you say, "Huh, well, Mr. Mayor, got your goose." So that's my.
How much do we pay for this thing again?
Grimgor's Magic Box.
That is. An upsetting name.
I'll confess, I was really hoping for Got Your Goose.
Oh, yeah, let's go with that. Oh, no, I feel like that's the name of my thing. Oh, no, Ferret, actually, Got Your Goose.
Got Your Goose. Yay!
Got Your Goose.
Good things happen to good people, except for Grimgar.
Yeah.
He's selling.
Although, technically, did he sell it or did he just give it to you?
It sounded like he just kind of shoved it in your arms.
Now I want to know why does he not want it?
But yeah, exactly. To be revealed.
Okay, well,
next time.
Let's go back to old Maddie then.
All right. So old Maddie's found himself in the subterranean golden field of storm clouds and mystery. And I venture forth to the figures I see in yonder distance where a large center of the storm seems to be conglomerating. Now... In my travels, old Maddie has heard of the Genasi and has met a few Genasi, and he's become aware that every Genasi kind of elemental kind of tribe, you know, there's air Genasi and fire Genasi, they have like a radical kind of cult attached to each that kind of takes their faith.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't...
As a race, they are known to be cultish.
No. Just, you know. Oh.
This is Minotaurs all over again. Oh, you've got a problem, man.
What have we done?
Oh, dear.
Okay, yeah. So you know that around the phenomenon of genocide, there are cults.
Yeah.
So they're and kind of spiritual.
And the reason
cults.
Why, like, each kind of element has the same is because it's all chasing the same myth. It's a myth chasing of the fifth genasi. And that element, of course, is a lightning genasi. Mm. I'm yet to come up with a cool name for it yet.
But you've had so long.
I know. But and as you reach these figures in yonder distance, you realize it is a summoning circle to create this fifth genasi. And in the skies, you can see this lightning genasi gargoyle with great wings kind of glooming. And it's terraforming the land around you. And it's creating like... It's not just creating mountains and rivers and volcanoes and lava banks and all that. It's creating structures of an architecture you've never seen before.
So this setting, this underneath this volcano, is basically this being trying to create a race in its own image? Is that what you're after?
No, it's kind of recreating a civilization that's not recorded in history or
something.
Anything
that maybe it knows from like way back.
Way, way back. So it's like... So, like, it's imagine seeing, like, the Earth kind of evolve and terraform in, like, the span of an hour.
Is this being native to the plane that this takes place on?
Well, you don't know. You know there's a legend of the fifth of the lightning genasi.
Okay.
And this, like, group is, like, really kind of in depth in kind of combining themselves. Like, they're losing... Their essence is kind of being taken into the storm by this lightning strike.
That's sick.
Yeah. And that's where old Maddie has found himself.
Okay.
In the middle.
Of course. Why wouldn't he? Okay. Indeed. So, well, let's move on to the prestiges. So, who would like to go first with their prestige? Does anyone have anything?
I can prestige. Okay. But I'd also like to... I've got a simple prestige, but I'd like to see if you guys can come up with something more interesting. My simple prestige is that the item itself is flawed, and that although you take footage of a bunch of different creatures, when you use the item, you have to roll for it, and you may end up trying to scare your enemies, but popping up footage of your party member in the shower instead.
Firstly, why do you have footage of your party member in the shower?
Most of my characters are creepy.
Oh, good.
We just left the box. It's kind of an accident.
I don't know.
You left the box with the bard. That's what happened.
Oh, damn bards.
Yeah, but I'll open up to the group if you guys have any other better suggestions.
I like that. I think that the way that this box was kind of phrased to us earlier was that it was kind of like maybe a little bit shady. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know if this box is even like well built. I would like to see what happens when it malfunctions.
Yeah.
Like maybe it creates some kind of weird amalgamation creature or shows things incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that could probably lead to some social conflict.
That's
if maybe you're recording something specific.
So I was thinking something along the lines of the idea that like a photograph will steal your soul. Ooh. So if you do this to monsters and then you get this image, but if you do it to one of your team members and you just play around with this image of them for a while, but then after they have a long rest, they'll wake up and they'll have one level of exhaustion. Mm.
That's good.
And then the next time you do it, they heal up from that and they recover. But if you do it again, they'll wake up with two levels of exhaustion, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you do it six times, they don't wake up. And so that sort of thing, like it's if they pick up on it, or if you have a particular big bad that you want to very subtly kind of undermine, is maybe just like every now and then just be in a crowd and just take their image. Like it's very non-invasive way of taking someone out.
I like the idea.
Long play.
I like the idea as well that at the core of the machine, if that's where it's storing all these spirits, these souls, this energy, I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And I like the idea of like you having to go through a process of trying to get the things out. So say if you went to go into the box to get your friend's souls out,
then all the other things are in there as well.
Exactly. And I kind of like the idea, kind of like, you know, how an, especially it was a good trope in old 60s, like Cold War movies. Like you'd find these rolls of film with like kind of controversial material on it of like big powerful figures. You might not be the first owner of this box.
Who else has owned
the box? So as you journey into it to get your friend's souls back, that's you're brilliant. Seeing its memory and it's got some brilliant. Like dark details about the emperor or something. And it's like, oh my God, big conspiracy.
Or things about your history. Maybe you're in the background of a shot and you go, I don't remember being here. Or is that my father? Weird. My long lost father?
It's like they're all bleeding together.
Hey there, son. I hope you get this footage one day.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And a real interesting way to play with the timeline of the narrative of your game.
Jumping back into spots. I'm happy with that.
Backstory stuff for your characters too in there.
What did we end up calling it?
Grimgore's Mad... Oh, no, wait, no. Goose.
Got your goose.
Got yo goose.
A 70s porn flick coming to you.
Got yo.
No, thank you.
Somebody order some geese.
Damn you, Grimgar.
That's footage. That could be footage.
All right. Well, let's go back to the lightning genasi.
The Ark Genasi.
The Ark Genasi.
ARK. So, old Maddie is in the midst of this, and as all this is happening around him, I'm not sure. Before it's too late, the Genasi like kind of myth chasers, they're gone into the storm, and the lightning kind of Genasi above is getting really powerful. It's noticed you, so it's a bit of like a chase kind of thing to get to some sort of safe ground as shelters built and the civilization grows around you. And then I like the idea of these that the Ark Genasi kind of like the storm kind of amalgamates into one big kind of ball of lightning in the sky, and then he drops, and then it's like this one lightning Genasi and Ark Genasi, sorry. And you have a conversation with him because party members are want to talk to ominous creatures that come out of nowhere in clearly evil circumstances. Because my second part of the card was setting an evil NPC.
Right.
So he is an ancient legendary Genasi from eons ago, and his goal is domination, of course, to take this terraformed earth from under the volcano now and kind of terraform it to the surface above and reclaim the ancient land.
Question.
Yes.
Have they resurrected him or have they time traveled him?
I would say time traveled him.
Yes. I think that's the more interesting of the two. Taking this ancient evil that was growing and then suddenly just disappeared.
Mm.
And then now you have to deal with them.
And you're like, well, your party obviously being a bit cocksure, probably a bit experienced in taking down world-dominating demons.
I don't know why you would say that.
They think, all right, let's take on this legendary Ark Genasi from a time we don't understand. But
it'll be fine.
Before they know it, out of the structures and this weird architecture that you just don't understand come a Genasi like you've never seen before. Not quite as sparkly kind of crazy as the Ark Genasi before you, but kind of those, like his kind of ancient people.
Mm. Yeah. Right. So that's the thing. I think including something like that, you want to kind of have the keys to the downfall. Like if you've had this conversation and he's not 100% I'm going to kill you now that I've told you everything about my plan. The keys to undoing the evil in inverted commas that he's doing should be in this world that he's terraformed here.
Yes.
While he's away doing something to the surface world, I think, because he's obviously come down, he's made this announcement that his people are back and he's going to terraform, he's going to do what he can to bring the world below to the world above.
Yeah.
And so your party has to find ways within this creation that he's made to undo it, or maybe find the happy medium where the lightning Genasi can coexist with the other kinds of Genasi in the real world.
Because it would be just not just about, you know, undoing and stuff and destroying, but it's about understanding and finding, you know, who are they and what's it all about and what can we do in the best way possible. And Ark Genasi, that's my title.
See, when you said the fifth Genasi, I really wanted you to go the heart Genasi.
I didn't grow up with Captain Planet, so I didn't...
No, you're a child.
I'm all Maddie.
Yes, it's the like youngest one here, probably. All right, well, let's go back and finally to Jack.
So how can the party kind of come across this? I think maybe I already jumped the gun a bit when I was first introducing the idea. So if any of you guys have ideas, but I love really soft plot points, things that don't necessarily just show up in the game and you have to deal with. So I'm thinking that maybe just over the course of a couple of sessions, people notice the weather just gets worse, and it just continues to get worse and worse until your party may or may not decide to actually investigate that. Mm. What's going on? And I think it's more of a... This whole issue is more of a like a world-building thing, because then you get to think about, well, what does the weather going so bad do to everyone else that the party interacts with?
Mm. Well, yeah, well, it definitely could be that perhaps miles and miles to the west, just on the horizon, there's a storm that has been going for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And people who... And maybe that was the food bowl of the region, and now that that's been going, like... All the grain is spoiled, and they can't grow anything or harvest anything anymore because
prices go up.
Everything's muddy, so food starts getting, animals start getting sick, and there's like an exodus away from this constant storm. Mm. So that can be kind of like the hook that if they want to follow that,
they can.
Or yeah.
I like optional stuff.
Yeah, and I love the idea of you're traveling into the terrain while everyone else is traveling out, so you're dealing with mudslides and thunder strikes and falling trees and in climbable terrain. You need to get up to the top of this mountain or something to get into where the idols are. Or
there's a lot of like non-direct confrontation problems that this monster is creating.
Mm.
And yeah, I also like that there are two distinct solutions to the problem of this storm monster.
Yeah,
in that you can fight him with magic, etc., and hopefully subdue him. Mm. Or kill him outright, or you can talk to him, and maybe if you let the other spirits go, they would all return, find their balance,
they can
return
equilibrium.
Yeah, rather than just having the storm reigning supreme.
Mm. Yeah,
kind of moral. That's nice. It's always nice to try and push some moral stuff
in
front of the players,
or just see which one they take, and then, you know, make fun of them for always choosing bad.
As an item or a thing to bring, it might also be interesting is if you have a weaker spirit, you have to get there to talk to it.
Oh, that's lovely.
This is the adjacent power, which might be the sun, which has become weak due to his growing power.
Right.
And the only way that it can that you can subdue it is if they speak and it says, like, brother, come on, stop this messing about.
Quit it off.
Yeah.
Quit it.
And then you have a magical item that gets stronger as time goes by. Much rain. Don't worry, I'll heat it up. Use the totem.
I'm imagining like Mushu from Disney's Mulan talking to Shenron from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, there. That's good.
Only if we include the Dragon Ball Z theme in every episode, though.
Oh, yeah.
If it's your game, you can do whatever you want. Okay, so what did we call yours?
The Thunderer.
We had the Thunderer. We had...
Was it Cook Your Goose?
Got your goose.
And
stop
the Arcanas. The Arcanasi.
Okay, so those are the hooks that we've come up with this week. If you want to use them in your game, please do, and let us know how it goes. As always, we are produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License, which means you're free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give appropriate credit, and do not use the material for commercial purposes, and don't remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way. If you're getting paid for it, we would just like some credit. Mm. And so that has been us for another week. Thank you very much, Jack, for your first outing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I hope to have you back some other time.
Would love that.
Thank you. Darcy.
That goose.
Stop.
See ya.
He doesn't. He never will.
What's done is done.
And thank you, Matthew, once again.
Merci beaucoup.
And of course, we can find you as always on Delicious Word Sandwich.
Delicious Word Sandwich.
Why?
I want to taste that sandwich.
Yum, yum, yum.
I'm put that sandwich in my
Some mouth. Of them are more tasty than others. I'm just going to say, put that out there.
Chicken and mayo. Best combination.
It's a good combination, but how do I do that thematically?
Chicken Run, novelization of the movie.
Bam. Whoa. All right, straight out.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll be back same time next week with more plot hooks for your games. Until then, keep playing games, everyone. Bye.
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 Good morrow, mine kiotis. Tis I, your once and future pal, Old Matty. Through fortuitous wheeling and or dealing, Old Matty bamboozled, hoodwinked, and duped himself in official That's Not Canon Productions podcast. Delicious Word Sandwich, the only podcast that transforms literary readables into scrumptious edibles, and the only literature podcast ever made, probably. Get a questionable recipe and an impeccable book breakdown all in one by the month as Old Matty reviews a New Yorker short story, shares some advice from the almighty titan and Old Matty's idol, Ernest Hemingway, then finally transforms every element of classic novels into ingredients. Example, marvel as I turn the Maltese Falcon's cynical characters into smoky bitter cheese, and its hard-boiled plot into an egg. Shell included. All the while, Delicious Word Sandwich chronicles Old Matty's madcap misadventures, in which he conquers death. So be sure to catch Delicious Word Sandwich on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and in your demonically possessed spaghetti. Until then, farewell, my kiotis.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum. Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.